Right, so it's 7:02 according to my watch, so we'll go ahead and begin our meeting. So welcome to the Village Board Meeting, regular scheduled board meeting on Monday, the 25th at 7 o'clock. I'd ask the clerk, please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Kargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez. Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Aducey.
Here. Okay, very good. I'd ask you if you can stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you.
Okay, all righty. So we have a few citizens' comments that I will ask that have called in, and I will ask them to speak. Steve Lefko, are you on the line? I don't know if I saw Steve. Okay, so we'll hop to John Grant. I see you.
Here.
Hello, John.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. It's election season here in River Forest, and I would like to address an important issue that has come up in my conversations with many elected officials and voters recently: the lack of effective and transparent guidelines for handling our volunteer commissions, boards, and committees, which serve our elected officials and our village. Let's be 100% clear that the issue is not the citizens and leaders who volunteer for these advisory bodies. It's hard to blame most elected officials as well. Further, my comments here are not aimed at any particular appointment or any particular body, and not at the past, but at the future. The flawed village guidelines here are a case of the process underserving all of the people involved: the volunteers, the trustees, and the voters. Let's start with how the lack of guidelines adversely affect the volunteers themselves to the advisory bodies. Those who would like to volunteer can find absolutely no description of how they will be considered by the village, because the village has no published description of the process. Volunteers have no idea when their application will be reviewed, who will be looking at their applications, what considerations will be used for decisions, or how or when they will be contacted to learn what determination was made on their application. Village trustees also receive no information on this process, because the village has no formal process and no requirement for transparency about the process. Trustees have no idea who has applied and how decisions are made to select a nominee. Then they are asked at the last. What's that?
Nothing. Keep going, John.
Then they are asked at the last meeting to make an informed yes or no vote on a nomination of their neighbor. The lack of transparency completely handicaps the trustees. This process shortchanges the current chairpersons of the advisory bodies as well. There is no prescribed process for candidates to attend a meeting of the advisory bodies for which they are applying and meet the chairpersons. No prescribed process for chairpersons to then give feedback and advice on the application. Finally, the lack of transparency means the voter has absolutely no understanding of and no voice about this process. How can they hold trustees accountable for their votes if the trustees' votes are completely blind? And the government serving voters is less efficient and effective because of these flaws. The current system places entirely too much power in one person, the president, who reviews the candidate's submittals and has no obligation to disclose any information about who has applied and what process was used to come up with an appointee. The process with the ad hoc committee suffers as well. Because of a lack of guidelines for the process, you have situations where dueling trustees get into heated battles about how the committees will be formed and who will be on them. Or you have other instances where some trustees are claiming other trustees are working in secret. The system breeds misunderstanding. with all due respect, it's a little bit of a mess and we can do much better for ourselves. I was bewildered when I realized how our process is working, so I looked for comparison to Oak Park. Oak Park's process is 100% different, aimed completely at transparency and effectiveness. Oak Park has an actual volunteer application, the first page of which is a detailed description of the process. Their volunteer webpage also includes enabling language for each advisory body and a procedural manual for advisory bodies. Applications are routed through the clerk to the Citizen Involvement Commission for a transparent process of evaluation and matching of volunteer skills to advisory body needs. I called last week and spoke with very experienced, educated leaders in Oak Park who have studied this process of staffing and guiding advisory bodies, and their work could be of help to us. There is no need to reinvent the wheel. Additionally, our village is filled with experienced leaders and executives and attorneys inside and outside government who could lend a hand to creating a new and much better system. To get the ball rolling, I am volunteering to be a part of working on the solution. In conclusion, the current system in River Forest lacks process and transparency and underserves all of us. River Forest must do a better job of tapping the talent of our citizens and treating everybody inside and outside of government with dignity and professionalism in the process. I call on trustees and the president to take up this issue without delay. And I wanted to ask if I could email my comments and have them made a part of the written record.
Yeah, please.
And where would I email?
To Sarah Cipher. Right?
Okay.
Or
you could do VBOT at VRF.us.
Okay. Yeah, Village Board, VBOT at VRF.us.
Okay.
It's on the agenda, Mr. Grant.
Yeah. It's on the agenda.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, John. All right. So we have Catherine Christmas. Catherine? I see you.
There. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Is there an echo or no?
No. Yeah, I think that you are not on mute, and that's what would cause the echo.
Okay,
but now everybody else is on mute.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. My name is Catherine Christmas, and I live at 601 Bonnie Bray. I'm a River Forest resident of 17 years and a member of the Committee on Deer Management. I'm speaking on behalf of a group of committee members, including myself, Ingrid Liu, Annette Madden, Lori Gillard, Marta Cosber, and Julie Armstrong. We have respected the Open Meetings Act rules in writing this. I had not attended any of the village meetings on this topic before applying to join this committee, so I was not aware of the intensity of views within our community. I have never written the board, spoken at a meeting, or called the village regarding deer. I applied for the committee because I'm a gardener and my home faces forest preserve land. Deer are often on our property in the spring and summer. I simply wanted to gather data and make an informed recommendation to the village. This group is making this statement now because of information that Secretary Pfeiffer and Trustee Carji brought to light last week related to this committee's rules. The rules were approved by you, the board of directors, last January. The rule on membership says, members shall include two board members from the board of trustees. If a member is unable to remain on the committee until it's dissolved, the village president will appoint a replacement with the advice and consent of the board of trustees. So there were supposed to be two committee members from the board. For the first meeting, there were trustees Hennick and Carji. Before our second meeting, however, Trustee Hennick had resigned. According to the rule cited above, she should have been replaced with another trustee member. Trustee Carji and President Adusi would have known about this rule, yet they didn't follow it. Instead, Trustee Carji was left to oversee the committee on his own and run all of the meetings for the next 9 months with virtually no oversight. In the minutes from only our second meeting, Trustee Carji is suddenly listed as chairperson when he had previously been listed as co-chairperson. In that same meeting, Trustee Carji was asked by a committee member if he was, quote, the chair of the whole committee, and he had affirmed that he was. The failure by the president and board to follow the rules and replace Trustee Hennick had a significantly negative impact on the committee, as Trustee Kargi, now the sole chairperson, was openly pro-call. The following points are taken from minutes of board meetings leading up to the committee's formation. Referring to the committee concept, Trustee Kargi said it is a waste of time and he did not believe anyone who volunteered would change their mind. He asserted that there is no other solution than culling and the other options are not practical. Also, on at least three occasions in separate meetings, he made motions to proceed with an IGA, the first step toward culling, without even forming a committee. No one in this group is questioning Trustee Kargi's right to his personal opinion. We also do not know him and make no judgment on him as a person. It is very concerning, though, that the village chose to make someone so determined to call a co-chairperson and then the sole chairperson of this committee. His noted bias affected what information was considered, the tone of the committee's meetings, and its output. Despite this, our purpose now is not actually to call anyone out, but to salvage something from the work that's been done. In our committee meeting last week, Trustee Kargi included a vote on call or no call. Call won by 8-6, including his own pro-call vote. Given that when this vote was taken, we now know that the committee had an unapproved number of members, an unapproved number of board members, and a pro-call chairperson. We request that this vote be nullified. Not doing so risks suggesting this rule error was more than an oversight. Note that our purpose is not to silence the pro-call group, but instead to allow alternate approaches to finally be fairly considered, as we feel they were not during this process. Our proposal is for the 7 non-trustee committee members who want to call to proceed with their own recommendation to the board. The 6 who believe we should start with alternatives to calling can make a separate official recommendation. We ask that Trustee Kargi be removed from the process. He has already had undue influence over it, and it is too late to add another trustee co-person and rebalance the committee. Neither recommendation should be considered by the board to be from the quote-unquote majority. Board members can process all of the information and make their own conclusions. Neither side is stifled in this plan, and it would allow the committee to finish its work without charges of bias. After almost a year and with only one meeting left, it is unrealistic to start this process over and do it properly. This proposed final step would acknowledge what occurred here while still moving the community closer to a well-considered deer management plan. The alternative is to have whatever proposal is submitted by the pro-call group be seen for what it is, the result of a committee that was predisposed to calling. Thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thank you, Kiki, and I appreciate your comments. And I think at this point, maybe we'll consider having another discussion about the committee, but at no point was it raised that you know we needed another co-chair by any trustee and nor myself. So I understand your comments and I appreciate your comments and we'll discuss them. There's I don't think anybody on this board, including myself, is predisposed at any point in view point on deer management. In fact, I think the deer committee was. Our hope was that the deer committee would come up with some alternatives and some solutions. So we'll take your comments under advisement and talk about it as a board.
Thank you, Kathy. That's all I ask.
You're welcome. Okay. I think the rest, Mike and Carmela and Susan, are really just on the retirement. So if I can ask you guys just to maybe hold a little bit. So when we talk about Eric and Georgette, I'll let you guys speak. Is that okay, Carmela, or do you have something else? Okay. All right. Is Steve Lefko on? I don't know if he even joined. I just didn't want to not. Okay. All right. With that, we'll move on to the elected official comments and announcements. Okay, can I ask Trustee Bachner if you would mind starting tonight?
Yes, thanks, Kathy. I'd like to start off with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi nations, and more. And we remember our nation's history and honor the Native peoples as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Welcome everybody on this getting to be stormy evening. We're gonna be having some inclement weather. Last I heard 5 to 8 inches of snow, which is not necessarily new for us in the River Forest area, but just everyone, please be safe out there. I do want to just acknowledge that it does look like vaccinations for the coronavirus are now starting to move to include additional groups of people, those 65 and over, and those who are the first line essential workers. So I'm so very pleased to see that and ask that people know that it is safe to do so and to go out and get your vaccination, get your appointment as soon as you possibly can. Even with vaccinations, we will still need to mask up and socially distance for quite some time. So please keep that in mind as well as we continue to move on with 2021. I was able to join Congressperson Chuy Garcia, one of our congresspeople here in the River Forest area, this weekend, where he outlined a couple of items I thought really beneficial to residents in our community from a federal level. And so while I don't have too much information, it does look like there is going to be assistance available to renters, assistance available to people for childcare, and a second wave of PPP loans. So if you are in any groups that make sense for you, I highly recommend that you can go to his website or look it up to find out more about that and how you might start to apply for those items. I think that concludes my comments for today.
Okay, thank you very much, Erica. Okay, Tom? Tom, you have to unmute. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's all right. We'll come back to you, Tom. I can't hear you. We'll come back. Rev?
Yes, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I do want to piggyback on Trustee Bachner's encouragement for people to take the vaccine. I did sign up and I'm eligible under the 1B group. However, I looked through the whole list trying to sign up somewhere and they're all taken by appointment. So I'm going to strongly recommend everyone to be patient and just sign up as soon as you can. I know from what I'm hearing is the vaccines are, there's a shortage of the vaccine. So eventually as they roll out, I'm told at least under the Cook County website, they're gonna notify you as soon as more vaccines come out. So yes, sign up and just be patient when more vaccines come out. So I'm gonna be pursuing it and I hope everybody else does as well. The other item I wanted to report about was the Age Friendly Advisory Committee. We met on January the 13th. We pretty much collected a number of sample surveys that we want to use and compare as it relates to producing our survey for our needs assessment of our village. And our last meeting, we took the AARP, basically the 8 domains of the areas that we should probably look at in developing our survey. And each of the committee members took one of the domains and we're gonna be putting together at least a collective joint survey that may be duplicative of questions, et cetera, but at least we'll start off with a master survey that we can sort of tweak, massage, and work out to bring something forth for our village. So that's what we're working on, and our next meeting will hopefully gather and continue our discussions in trying to come up with a survey for us. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Red. Tom, can you get back on?
What are you doing
with that night?
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
It wouldn't have muted before. Sorry about that. My thunder was kind of stolen about the deer committee, but I would like to address some of the points that were made. I don't believe at any point that my opinion about the culling impacted the way I chaired the meetings. I gave everyone an opportunity to talk. I never cut anyone off. God knows we talked about the same things many times. And on the other point that was raised, I've already said anyone can write a dissenting report. Sarah and I are drafting the report that will be considered by the committee, but anyone is free to add to it or probably add their own reports. So I think that, you know, what Catherine said is fine with me. I don't think it needs a village board vote to prove that. Obviously anyone can write whatever they want. Let's just say I'm disappointed that the committee ended as rancorously apparently as it began. It's obviously a heated issue for the village, and it was a heated issue for the committee. I don't know how we could have done any better. It was an evenly divided board, and much like the village itself was evenly divided on the issue. So it is what it is, but that's all I have.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Okay, Trustee Brennan, no, Kathleen, I'm sorry. Anything, Kathleen? Okay, thank you. Trustee Brennan?
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. I just wanted to mention two things. One, I participated in the Truth and Racial Healing Transformation discussion hosted by Ken on the 19th. There seemed to be excellent attendance, over 100 people on the Zoom conference. And I'm looking forward to the progress and work with this group going forward. And the second item is that I fielded a call from a resident last week about whether the village is still collecting and recycling batteries for River Forest residents. And staff quickly answered the question. Thank you, John Anderson. And I wanted to pass the information that I got from John on to anyone on who's listening to this meeting so that you have the information. And staff's going to be including this in social media posts and also in an e-newsletter this week, I think. So the answer is that the village is still collecting and recycling batteries, not the big like car batteries, smaller ones. But you have to bring them to the front counter at Village Hall. It's not a bin downstairs in the basement. So bring them to the front counter at Village Hall, and then they will be forwarded to our waste hauler. And just a reminder as to why we do this. Why do we try to keep batteries out of the landfill? Well, they will rust and decay, which allows toxic heavy metals from inside to leak out and enter our water supply and eventually enter our bodies. Lithium in the batteries reacts in a volatile way when it's exposed. They can cause landfill fires, release chemicals in the air, also with the potential for human exposure. So that's why we do it, and I'm glad that we do collect them and recycle them. I'll add that we also still collect prescription and over-the-counter drugs and medicines, and we do that in the basement of the village hall. So you don't have to go to the counter on the second floor; you go to the basement for this one. And again, we do that because we want to keep the medicines out of our landfill and potentially our water system.
Yep, great. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Katie. Patty, Trustee Hennick?
Yes, thank you. I want to welcome everyone tonight. Looks like we have a full house. Had we been at Village Hall, it would have been a full house. Couple things. I, too, attended the National Day of Healing at Dominican, through Dominican last week. It was an impressive turnout, as Trustee Brennan stated. I'm impressed that they have been doing this work for the last 5 years. That was actually the fifth annual National Day of Healing that they held. I'm hopeful for our future in terms of the students that have been engaged around this work to try and improve areas of diversity, equity, and inclusion, including, you know, we were impressed by the two students who attended our meeting back in October, Jonathan Seals and Lauren Berger. So it's great that this work has been ongoing with Dominican. I'm glad the village is now joining in this process. And I also look forward to some action items. Obviously, it requires a lot of talking and conversation, but I'm looking forward to some action items that we could put to show that we're invested in this change and doing the work. I meant to share at our last meeting, there are some residents on the 700 block of Ashland, and Chief Bowman, if I think I saw your name, if you can relay this, thank you and gratitude. The residents were out of town and apparently their gas pipe was damaged and was filling, you know, fumes within their house. And luckily a neighbor heard the noise and notified the police department or the fire department, who then came out. They were able to get in touch with the homeowners. They were so impressed by the fire department. They were impressed that the firefighter had them on FaceTime as they went through the house to make sure that everything was secure with their house and everything was safe with that. So anyhow, kudos to the fire department. They were so happy and so grateful that the problem was addressed, and it wasn't, I mean, that could have been a very serious issue had it been left unchecked. So if you can pass on that, thank you, that would be great. And again, I just want to, sorry?
Said thank you, I will pass that on.
Oh yeah, thank you, that's great. And then I just want to say thank you again to village staff for all the great work that went into our meeting earlier. We had a committee of the whole meeting for those who are on this Zoom. Staff every year goes through and puts together any changes that plans for the next 5 years for our capital improvement spending. It's a lot of work, a lot of effort. They really do a lot to try and save the village some money, some tax dollar spending. So I want to thank them for all of that again. That's it.
Great. Okay, thank you. Bob?
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I too attended the Truth and Racial Healing. Unfortunately, I didn't sign up properly, so I didn't get into one of the working groups, but the information that I saw on the front end and the back end was very impressive, and looking forward to seeing that move forward in the coming months and years. Had an opportunity to have a couple of conversations with some neighbors. Again, very excited about the work that's going to happen on Keystone next year. They're very appreciative to the efforts, again, of the village engineer, excuse me, and the public works department. So thanks again from the benefit of my neighbors who will benefit from that. Other than that, that's all I have. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Well, I'll be brief. I too participated, and I was had the opportunity alongside with Dr. Carroll to say a few words regarding the Dominican University and the Truth, Racial Healing and Transformation Framework Initiative. We're super excited about being part of this journey that they are on and now we are on. And it's part of our bigger picture of addressing diversity, equity, and inclusion. As you can see, it will be on our later agenda. And I think the combination of our relationship with Dominican and a broader community involvement, along with our working group, I think is going to bring some wonderful good changes to our community. I also want to say thank you to the staff for the foresight of buying the de-icing machine. I mean, in these nights, Eric and Lisa, it comes in quite handy, and it saves us on salt, and it was a right strategic move when we made that decision.
Yeah, and thank you for that, and that's really all Mark Giannopoulos and his
team. I know, Mark too.
Mark does a great job.
Thank you, Eric, you're right. But it's a team. It's totally a team. So, you know, it's a board along with the staff and Mark. So I appreciate that. I want to echo some of the board members' comments about the COVID-19 vaccine. I'm hoping all the residents that are on the call, please read the e-newsletters. They come out fairly regularly and give you good information regarding both the vaccine, the testing, and a lot of good information regarding COVID-19. So there has been a significant change in direction from the county with their form. And so if any residents out there that have already filled out the form from the county, please fill it out again. And this form will actually get you to an appointment with a provider, either the county itself or a partner like CVS, Walgreens, and others. So we absolutely encourage all of our residents to seek that if that is what you want. And that's all I have as well. So we'll conclude the elected official comments and announcements, and we'll move on to 4A. And this is the police department presentation of the PPE video. So I see...
Madam President.
I think Chief O'Shea, yep.
Yes, Madam President and the honorable members of the Village Board, good evening. The River Forest Police Department has long partnered with Aftermath, who provides specialized trauma cleanup, biohazard remediation, and now COVID-19 disinfection. In February of 2020, the River Forest Police Department participated in a friendly Aftermath training and safety contest, which included the submission of a 2-minute video to educate first responders about the importance of wearing proper personal protective equipment, commonly known as PPE, in order to protect themselves and their families. The winners were announced at the start of the pandemic in March of 2020, but due to COVID concerns, Aftermath was unable to officially announce and present the River Forest Police Department as the grand prize winner of the 2020 Aftermath Safety and Training Contest. Before we go further, I'd like to recognize Corporal Dan Humphreys for his hard work to create this video. And he's the reason behind us winning this grand prize. And here tonight to present the award is Tony Cusinato, who's our Aftermath Relationship Representative. Tony, I'll turn it off to you if you could unmute and get things going.
Good evening. Thank you for letting me come tonight. This is actually my first Zoom meeting, so hopefully it's not too bad for me. As Chief O'Shea said, it was an honor to look at all the submissions from over 2,000 police departments that entered this contest. And after seeing Corporal Humphreys' submission, it was clear that they were very dedicated in keeping their officers and their community safe. Being a former officer, I understand the issues and incidents that they come involved with biological fluids, as well as drugs and narcotics that can be harmful when contacted. So when this was announced, we do this every year. It's the safety and training contest. And every year we get more and more submissions. And pretty much our key is to educate them on the dangers of being in contact with bodily fluids. A lot of the times when they're walking into scenes, they're not really paying attention because their priority is safety of each other as well as the people that they're dealing with. So we try to educate them to be a little bit more conscious of their surroundings. So this year with the submission that they made, they were able to win a $5,000 check that they can be used towards training or safety equipment, as well as 50 individual PPE kits for each of their officers. So every year we try to spread it out as much as possible. This past year, we were able to give away over $10,000 in grant money, as well as over 500 PPE kits to many different departments. So each year we do 5 departments with up to 50 PPE kits, and then we give away 250 individual ones. So it was an honor to set these guys up and see how much community support they have. So hopefully they'll never have to use them, but they have them to use them if they need it. So thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
And at this time, Dan Humphreys and Commander Greenwood will do a screen share to share the award-winning video.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, we're missing the drum roll.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure if Commander Greenwood knows that he doesn't have it up on the screen. Nope, maybe he's working on it. Yeah. We'll give it a couple minutes. It's worth waiting for.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well,
there we go. Oh, 1 second. And hopefully it works.
Hello, I'm Dan Humphreys with the River Forest Police Department. River Forest is located approximately 10 miles west of downtown Chicago.
It's not on the screen, Commander.
Yeah, it's not.
Technical difficulties aplenty.
Can you double click on that? Try double clicking on it.
Yeah, yes, sir. You know. Yeah.
No. No, it was playing, but not on his screen. I don't think he's sharing the right screen.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I also have it. I might be able to bring it up.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll give it a couple minutes, and then we'll bail if we can't get it.
That's a good thing we have a small facility.
Yeah.
That Eric is fast.
Yeah. He ran upstairs. Nope, they're going to work that hard. Here it comes. Oh, here we go. There we go.
Hello. I'm Dan Humphreys with the River Forest Police Department. River Forest is located approximately 10 miles west of downtown.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I think it turned it down.
Chicago, and less than a mile from Interstate 290, also referred to as the Heroin Highway. Multiple major thoroughfares run through the village of River Forest from the west side of Chicago to the suburbs, providing easy access to the west side of Chicago. Which is a major hub for heroin and fentanyl distribution. As a department who experiences a high call volume relating to heroin and other narcotics, we also take the proper universal precautions and utilize personal protective.
We've got some latency issues.
Yeah.
I told you we need to invest in IT.
Equipment to minimize the risk of exposure of bloodborne pathogens and biohazard threats. Last year, the River Forest Police Department responded to over 25 overdose-related incidents and are constantly being exposed to heroin, fentanyl, and other substances.
Too much on the internet. Yeah.
That pose a health and safety risk to not only officers, but the community as a whole. Some risk officers experience are...
Oh, so it actually says full.
Yeah. Used hypodermic needles, which are not properly disposed of, which puts officers at a high risk of exposure to bloodborne pathogens. Each River Forest frontline squad car is equipped with personal protective equipment kits. Furthermore, personal protective equipment kits are also located within the police department in the event. And officers may need them. These personal protective equipment kits are useful in protecting officers from any exposure to bloodborne pathogens. Safety is a number one priority in the village of River Forest. The River Forest Police Department's goal is to not only protect the community.
We're almost there, folks.
but also protect officers and coworkers. With the addition of further personal protective equipment kits, the River Forest Police Department can help prevent the spread of disease and illnesses to officers and their families.
All right,
we're
trying. All right, that's all right. We
try.
Thank you.
All I could say is more bandwidth. More bandwidth.
Yeah.
Can we take the 5,000 and use it for the internet upgrade?
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
No, it's great. Thank you, Jim and Commander Greenwood and all of our officers. Great job. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
For the record, I just want to ask Corporal Humphreys, so what's your haul right now? Because you've won, he had that award last year with the vehicle, and then he had this. So we may have to start keeping a runny tally of your cash and prizes for the Village of River Forest. Good job.
We are going to be launching this contest again at the end of February, beginning of March, so feel free to enter again.
Okay. Maybe you can give us some money for that internet.
as many times as you like. Yeah.
All right, very good. Thank you. And thank you, Tony, for joining our board meeting and providing that wonderful gift and grant money to our great police department. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go on to some more good stuff, and that is recognition of some wonderful employees that will be one retiring and one moving on to another village. So I will let Eric take the recognition of Georgette.
Thank you. On the call tonight is Georgette Carlini. Georgette has been the village's utility billing clerk since 1999. And I'm often reminded in this line of work that there are certain employees in an organization that become the face and even more so the kind of the heart and soul of the organization. And Georgette certainly fills that bill. Georgette has been a utility billing clerk since 1999. She's going to retire finally here at the end of January. And we wanted to take a moment just to recognize Georgette's service, her dedication to the village, and her dedication to the residents. She's often the person picking up the phone at the front counter, answering questions about utility billing issues, water billing, et cetera. And always has a positive can-do attitude. And we're certainly going to miss that around here really appreciate everything that she's done for our organization and our community. So with that, we would normally do this in person, Georgette, but I will see you tomorrow morning. We have an award here. It's a commemorative clock that has the village's logo, and it says Georgette Carlini, and recognition and appreciation of your dedicated service to the Village of River Forest, 1999 to 2021. So congratulations and thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. President Ducci, trustees, Eric Palm, I thank you very much for all this wonderful support. And I enjoyed my job, enjoyed working with people, especially the Village of River Forest residents. And I thank you again for 21 years. Where it went, I have no idea.
I'll open it up to the trustees, but let me just start. Georgette, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I think you know everyone in the Village of River Forest. And I think you might have saved everyone some money at some point in time over your course of your 21 years of looking at our water bill. So I know our residents are grateful for all that you do for them and for our village. So on behalf of myself and the village board, I just want to say thank you so much for being a dedicated, employee to the village. And I know you don't live too far, so we will see you often, hopefully. I don't know if you've got summer plans, but I hope we will see you around town for sure. Thank you, Georgette.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else? Would like to say anything to Georgette? If not, we'll move on to Mr. Palm. I'll start out. I get the recognition. We've got a very nice
Kathy. Kathy, I'm sorry. Yep. I was trying to unmute. I just wanted to quickly say something to Georgette. I apologize for interrupting.
Sorry.
My internet is My internet is bad also, and trying to mute and unmute is taking a long time.
No worries.
Georgia, you, I'm sure, don't know me, don't remember me, but years ago, I called in a complete mess because my husband had passed away, and I was trying to deal with the mess of life and how to get everything updated and changed and payments, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I kind of fell apart, and you were the person on the phone, and you were so kind and patient and walked me through it all, and I will never forget it. And I'm figuring if I'm, you know, if it, I'm figuring I'm not the only person who's had that experience with you. So I just wanted to say thank you so very much. You helped me at a difficult time, and you probably don't even realize what a difference it made. So thank you and congratulations.
Thank you very much. And thank you for your support. Thank you.
Thanks, Kiki.
Yes, it's true servant.
I see my supervisor, Kiki Boyer. I want to thank her too for the wonderful years that I've worked with her. And I don't see Rosie McAdams, but we can. I want to add her on to my supervisors are the greatest. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, very good. Thank you, Georgette. Thank you for everything you've done. So with that, let's move on to Eric Palm, a very difficult thing, but need to do it. This is it's not a plaque, I guess. It's just a glass memento.
It's like a headstone.
It's a headstone. That could be it. It could be it. But I wouldn't say you died here.
Right.
You'll die in your own job,
right.
Not here.
It's just parts of me, right?
But yeah, it just says, presented to Eric Palm in grateful appreciation of your steadfast leadership, dedication, and affinity for our village. Village Administrator 2010 to 2021. So I'm just going to say a few words. I actually wrote it down because I didn't want to wander and ramble, which I can do when I'm talking.
I did the same thing.
When I'm talking about Eric, because there are just too many fun times and actually great times that I think we've all had under your leadership. But it is hard to say goodbye, especially to someone who has served us with distinction for the past 10 years. So Eric, I was a trustee when Eric came here in 2010. When the Great Recession left the village's finances in tatters. From the start, he was a steady influence on the administration. The financial picture began to change. Under his leadership, the village adopted balanced budgets each year and created capital equipment and project funds in its full. The village earned budget awards and coveted AAA bond ratings from Standard & Poor's, and it just keeps coming on the financial end. Eric also helped guide us through the largest infrastructure we'd ever undertaken and through the creation of two TIF districts. No easy task. But he's done more than that, actually. He's had a steady hand on the wheels of government. He's always been there. And people may say that was his job, but it was the way Eric did it. He did it with style and a sense of humor. And we all know his sense of humor. He seemed to know what we would need before we even said we needed it. He cared for our residents and businesses fighting every inch of the way. If there was a construction along a business district, he would personally call the businesses to let them know there will be construction. He responded to every resident's request or question within our unofficial policy of getting back to someone within 48 hours or two business days. He knows everything about customer service. I got to really know Eric when I became village president in 2013. He is a trusted advisor, knowledgeable, and perceptive. He has been an exceptional leader inside Village Hall and an even-handed professional with a steady hand. He moves on to Hoffman Estate, unfortunately. No, we wish you well on that. A larger community with similar issues. He leaves River Forest in good financial shape. His deputy, Lisa Shiner, will be our interim, and I know she'll do a phenomenal job. There will be no need to mentor Lisa. I am confident she will fill his shoes very nicely because she had a great supervisor after all. So it all kind of rolls down. So we might call it change. I call it transitioning, handing off the mantle in a very professional way. Eric, I want to thank you for being an exceptional leader. We are grateful for your leadership and commitment in River Forest. We will miss you. but you are not too far away. I very much appreciate all that you've done for this village, all that you've done for our residents, and I wish you Godspeed and well in your new job. Don't forget us.
Thank you.
So I'll open it up to the village, and I know there's three former trustees as well. And maybe if the trustees, if you want to speak, maybe I can ask just for sake of moving it along. Mike Gibbs is actually in the village hall, so maybe Mike, would you mind take the podium and say a few words? They're under the public comment.
Hi, everybody. Everybody in TV world.
Could you state your name and address for the record,
yeah,
please?
Michael Gibbs, 527 Monroe Avenue.
We're going to waive the 5-minute rule for you.
Okay. I didn't write it down, which is so unlike me because I do ramble on senselessly. But it's good to see the familiar faces up on the TV screen. Hello, everybody. You can't see me, which is probably considerably more beneficial for you guys than it is to me. But as I look around the room that I sat in for 8 years, it's a coincidence that the wall behind Eric is filled with awards that are a direct result of the fine work he did for the village. I the wall speaks for itself. We're all going to say nice things about Eric tonight. Some of them might be true. But I would feel remiss if I didn't come here in person to shake his hand, because I was here for his first meeting to shake his hand and welcome board. So it's kind of cool that I have the opportunity to come back and wish him well at Hoffman Estates, because clearly Hoffman Estates' gain is our loss, and I honestly feel that way. I don't know if Eric's family is watching this tonight, but there's a lot of dedication involved, not just with the person, but with the entire family at home. Tonight we're expecting a snowstorm, so any kind of family plans that our village employees had tonight, John Anderson, that kind of gets sidetracked because it is a 24-hour job, and family is supposed to be part of that 24 hours. So to Eric's family, thank you for giving up your man for the last 10 years. I know he felt like he was part of a family here, because that's the way I always felt about him. It was nice to be able to crack a smile once in a while with Eric, either at a meeting or outside of a meeting. Certainly those wonderful Memorial Day parades, walking down the street, rain or shine. But like I said, I ramble on. I didn't write it down because it's too personal to write this one down. And, that's it. I was here in the beginning. I'm happy to be here at the end. And thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Carmela, I see you.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Hello.
Hi, everybody. It's good to see everyone. Eric, I didn't write anything down. I was happy that Kathy called today to ask us to say a few things. So I just wanted to wish you well. And obviously we had a great run at it. I remember being in the audience before I was a trustee when you came in for your first meeting, and your wife Megan was there, and she was pregnant at the time. So you can see how time passes with your now three children. We're a little bit older, a little bit grayer. and just having you in the village has been tremendous. We obviously hit it off well, just because we had similar backgrounds and in our work as administrative folks in the municipal industry. But I wish you well. I think it's a great step for you. I'm excited to see you move. I'm not excited to see you move on, because we will miss you, but I'm excited to see what the future holds for you. And I wish you nothing but the best for you and your family. So congratulations. And I'm not going to say goodbye, because I'm sure we will see you. Thanks.
Thanks, Carmela.
Thank you, Carmela. Thank you so much. And then we got Susan Conti, and then I'll open up to the board. Susan, are you still here? There you go. Nope. We can't hear you, Susan. Oh, no. No. Okay. So let Susan.
She's not muted, so it is her mic or.
It is her mic, yeah. Okay. Well, while Susan's trying to get on, Lisa just informed me we have a little video. So
oh, God.
Let's show the video, and then maybe you all can make comments after that. I didn't know that.
Eric looks appropriately terrified.
All right.
Well, we all know Eric has a good sense of humor. I think one of the things that makes us such an outstanding staff is that we take the work extraordinarily seriously, but we never take ourselves seriously. And so we've prepared a little something that we hope you will find funny. Because we did.
I hope it's not a burning meme in there.
No.
There you go. I will remember.
Will you remember? He's moving. He didn't die.
Don't let your life pass you by. Keep not from the memory. I'm so tired. Standing on the edge of something much too deep. Funny how I feel so much, I cannot say a word. We are screaming inside of me. Will you remember me? Don't let your life pass you by. Be not for the memories.
That was fantastic. That is excellent work. Oh my goodness. Oh my God.
Very good.
You're
oh,
great.
Oh, that's a classic. We have to put that definitely up on our website.
Yeah, now that'll go in the email.
Yeah, I don't know. They should have. Susan, are you with us?
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
That's great. Good. That was fabulous. What a great video. I love it. Well, thanks for having me. Great to see everyone. Hello, everybody. Let me say a quick hello to Georgette. I just want to tell you, Georgette, that we're going to miss you. You've done an amazing job over all these years. You've been a steady representative for the village. I've never ceased to be friendly or kind. And always organized and efficient. So, you know, I love you, and you've done everything you've done with energy that you've always brought to your job. And so I really hope that you and Nello enjoy the new and more relaxed and flexible normal. So you deserve it, and congratulations to you. And Eric, I did write things down because I'm not very good spontaneously. So I remember when you interviewed, and then we as a board hired you, and it seems like such a long time ago. So much has happened since then. You were making a transition from the town of Hampshire, and River Forest would be a real change. So even then, you stood out as an obvious choice. And as you know, I'm not surprised that out of the many candidates that you were the one chosen to fill the shoes of the previous manager of the huge village of Hoffman Estates. A big part of the reason that River Forest is such a strong and steady position right now is because you've had the steady hand, the leadership, intelligence, and the common sense to help steer us and guide the village towards growth and stability. The accomplishments that River Forest has achieved because of you are too numerous to mention, just how what Kathy was saying earlier. I admire how you implement innovative approaches, You're an excellent communicator and you're respectful of everyone. In a nutshell, I feel we were fortunate to have you as our village administrator. We couldn't have wished for more. It will be hard to replace you because on top of all the great professional qualities you possess, you were always kind and humble and had a sense of humor. I wish you all the best in your new position, and perhaps Hoffman Estates will be lucky enough to have you even longer than your predecessor. You leave River Forest in great shape. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, I'll open it up to any comments from the village board. Just raise your hand so I can see.
This is Russ. Eric,
hey,
this
Russ, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Eric, I know, first of all, I'm going to try not to repeat what everybody said, but it's going to be hard not to. All I can say is that I enjoy, I've always enjoyed working with you. As you can see from the video, you have a great sense of humor. That's always what I've always appreciated from you as well. You're always helpful, efficient, effective. Even before I became a trustee, and definitely throughout my term as a trustee. But the one thing I want to add is that I recall one of the first things that I saw when I first became a trustee is there was, I think it was called like a 360 evaluation. And it was an evaluation that the trustees participated, gave input. Obviously you had your self appraisal evaluation part of it, but the other part was the employees. They were anonymous, but I thought number one, it takes a lot for someone to agree to have that type of evaluation because it could be sort of scary, challenging especially when you get the evaluation from employees. That was the first part that I credit you for. The second part was that a lot of the responses, if not all of them, came back fair, positive, and I can tell that staff really liked working with you. And I think that was a benefit to the village because the synergy of the village manager with the staff and not only doing good work, but having fun doing it, is a plus for the village. There was one, even though I'm 60, believe it or not, I had some mentors who told me, you know, a good sign of leadership or a good leader surrounds himself with other good people that will basically replace him. And the leader would not be afraid of doing that. And it's almost like a good leader will surround himself with people that will make him obsolete, but that's only a tribute to you and of good leadership that even though I can tell you, I will miss you. I do feel, and I thank you for, having the village staff being at the point that they can actually fill in your shoes. And the only thing I can say is, in addition to missing you, the only comfort I have is you're not going to be too far away from me at Elgin Community College. So hopefully we'll be able to have some lunch or get together at that point in time, since you're only going hop, skip, and jump to the village of Hoffman Estates. So,
Rez, you can bring Alpine over there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll bring Alpines. Or Parajita, I think Eric likes the Parajita as well. So, all right, virtual shakes hands and a nice pat in the back. And thank you, Eric.
Thank you. All right, Bob, I think you were next, Bob.
I'm kind of the newbie, but even my time on the Economic Development Commission, Eric, you were always a great partner, always brought a lot of thought to the conversation. And I think, from the work that you've done over the last couple of years on things that are going to hopefully fall in place in the village, your legacy is going to live way beyond you leaving us to go to Hoffman Estates. It's a big job, and you're the guy who could do a big job. And congratulations, and I wish you and your family the best.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Yep, Tom.
I'm not muted.
No, you're okay now.
Okay, thanks. I won't repeat what everyone else has said. It's been a pleasure working with you for the last 8 years. I think, as other people have noted, your sense of humor is one of your best attributes, and it often comes into necessity in the job you have. I wish you good luck in the future. As other people have said, our loss is definitely your new employer's gain. But I'm pretty sure, based on what I've seen over the past 8 years, that you can rise to any challenge. So thank you, Eric, and good luck.
Thanks, Tom.
Patty?
Yeah, thank you. So I'll echo a lot of what has already been said, and I'll piggyback on what Trustee Vasquez was getting at in terms of the dynamics with the staff. And I know, Eric, I've said this to you, is that it is noticeable. And I think the climate and the atmosphere with the staff and the dynamics that I see, that comes from the top down, I think, encouraging that sort of thing. The other thing I've been impressed that, again, speaking to the idea of grooming folks behind you to come into leadership, I've been impressed that you do allow staff to grow in their positions and kind of take a lead on things, which that's impressive as well. And I think that would lend to, you know, the idea of even somebody like Georgette staying on for 21 years, that's knowing that they are, you know, appreciative that their administration appreciates the work that they do and values what they do. And like I said, allows them to grow in their position. That's a great thing. I personally have enjoyed getting to know you and all of our conversations. I feel like I've learned a lot myself through working with you. I have been impressed with your ability. You know, you get some tense moments at times, right? People come and they're frustrated with what's going on and they want answers, and you do handle that with grace. Often I'm impressed with how you're able to handle some tense situations. So kudos to you. I do wish you well going on to Hoffman Estates. All the best to you. It'll be nice to have a shorter commute, I'm sure. And I'll end with go Bulldogs.
Go Bulldogs. Thanks, Patty.
Yeah. Good one. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd like to say something, Kathy. Yeah. Sure. It's funny, I wrote a couple things down, and two of the things I wrote down had to do with your sense of humor, which Kathy and Susan and Tom and maybe others mentioned, and also your steady hand, which Kathy and Susan and Rez mentioned. And so the steady hand is probably a very important attribute, the holder of things, as we've noticed from Lisa's video of you.
That's just fine, just for the record.
So because it's duplicative, I'm not going to go into and talk about your sense of humor and your steady hand, but I do feel fortunate to have been a trustee during your time here as writer, and I want to wish you well, and I have full confidence that you are going to provide the same steady leadership and steady hand in Hoffman Estates as you've provided here in River Forest. We've been lucky to have you for 10 years, and Hoffman Estates is fortunate that you are going there now. Thank you, Eric. Yeah.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else today?
Yeah.
Oh, yep, sorry.
Eric, you know, how can I not like someone who practically shares my name and has my brother's name?
It does come out like that, right?
That, yeah, and half the time I don't know whether Kathy is talking to you or me. I don't know.
Don't worry, I feel the same.
Yeah, so that video said it all in how you're able to work with the staff and get the best out of them and be just a model for them in your dedication. Before I became a trustee, I would see you at River Forest events and sort of had, like, I knew that you were, you know, you don't, as a village administrator, you don't always have to be at the, you know, Saturday afternoon, like food truck gathering, right? Or
at one of the summer events, certain things like that. So your dedication to the community and work, you know, I think it's the Rotary, I'm gonna get this wrong, if you're with the Rotary Club here in River Forest, but that's a big dedication, right, to a town that you don't actually live in. So I really appreciate everything that you have done and your commitment and dedication, and wish you well in Huffman Estates.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Erica. Yeah, I got to get that cup out when I. Okay, we have one more guest that wants to speak. Okay. I see John Regas. You've joined us, John. John, can you hear us? Yeah. I don't have a test. There you go, John.
He's trying.
Okay.
There you go.
I got unmuted. Thank you.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Eric, I just wanted to wish you well. I had the pleasure of being on the board that hired you. It clearly was not a mistake by that board. And I know that you thought hard about leaving. It was hard to do, but that I understand why you're leaving, and I wish you all the well. You did a phenomenal job for River Forest. You left some big shoes to fill, and hope we'll find the right person to fill those shoes. So I want to just wish you well.
Thanks, John, and thanks for joining us wherever you are. So
I'm on Franklin and River Forest.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad you got your feet on the ground. Okay. So, well, that kind of concludes our remarks. I don't know if any of the
I
staff want to say. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh yeah, sure, Katie. What?
Can I say something,
oh my
Kathy?
God, sorry, Kathleen.
That's okay.
Go ahead. I apologize.
Oh, no worries. I was just thinking about, someone said something about how Eric does a good job of setting, you know, that the tone is set from the top. And I would say that after walking in a parade with his kids and his wife, I would say thank you to his wife because she set the tone just right. Your family is amazing, and you can tell that the fun, the humor, the commitment all starts there, and you should be very proud. And then the other thing I wanted to say, aside from the fact that you will be missed, and you have an amazing ability to make each person you deal with feel important and feel like what they're saying matters. And it's really a powerful skill that not everyone has, and we were fortunate to have you. And then lastly, I just wanted to say that Eric, I will never forget you because we will always have displays.
Right. Another bond.
Yeah. Our bond. Shared heritage.
That's right.
Wow.
So thanks, best Kathy. Of luck.
Thank you.
Well, very good. Well, if we it wasn't COVID time, we'd have coffee and cake, but just
I want a rain check for the
it's
cake.
It's just all of us, right?
Right, right, exactly.
All right, well, that concludes, I think. If I've missed anybody, please wave your hand so I can see you. It's hard under Zoom, so I apologize if I missed somebody inadvertently. There you go, Eric.
Yeah, no, I've got a couple things I'll say, and I'll make it brief here because it's already 8:15. We still haven't gotten a consent agenda. So
that's right.
And as many of you know, I prefer to maintain a more inconspicuous profile, but I would be remiss if I didn't make a couple of comments before here on our last board meeting. First, I want to thank the residents, the members of the business community, and the elected officials I've worked for, past trustees, and our current board here tonight. I want to thank John Regas, who recommended my appointment 10 years ago, and Kathy Aducey for her support of me and the organization. Kathy, I've learned a lot working for you these past 10 years. Your guidance and leadership. Made me a better public servant. Thank you. I want to thank the staff. I'm honored to lead the 76 dedicated professionals who serve this community day in and day out. Each of them comprises the backbone of our organization. To the team on the second floor, thank you for all your hard work and commitment to this village. Jim, Kurt, John, Jeff, Mark, Rosie, and of course our esteemed legal counsel, Greg Smith. Thank you for making me look very good these past 10 years. To my dream team, Sarah, John, and Lisa, you guys are the best. Truly you are. Your professionalism, work ethic, and commitment to the community is unmatched. More importantly, you're wonderful people. I'm not one to take credit for things, but I'm going to take credit for hiring each of you. And I know the village is in good hands as I leave the organization. Lisa, I admire your tenacity, your ability to take an issue you know nothing about, immerse yourself in it, and come out on the other side. As a subject matter expert, it's truly remarkable. I'm excited to transition from your boss to a colleague and a friend. You're going to continue to do wonderful things for this village. And finally, I think they're still listening. To my wife, Megan, and my three wonderful children, Stella, Annie, and Everett, thank you for your patience and love dealing with the weekend, late night calls, emails, sometimes on vacation, and hearing Dad say, hang on a second, I got to take this. I suspect the next 10 to 15 years aren't going to get much better. So your patience and support will have to continue on. But I know you're going to be there for me. And while I could list my list of accomplishments these past 10 years, such an exercise would, quite frankly, bore us all to tears. So in reality, as I tell John Pape all the time, what matters the most? Relationships. And that's what I've formed over these 10 years. That's what's important, and that's what I'm going to take with me. So thank you, River Forest, for everything. I look forward to watching the continued progress of this special community. It'll always have a special place in my heart. Thank you.
Yay. Well, I got to give you this officially, though.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, no.
With the white glove. We can take a picture at the end of the meeting.
Yeah, I think
we'll do it at the end of the meeting.
Yeah. I have to shake your hand.
Okay. Very good. All right, we'll just take 1 minute to breathe and then we'll get on to the consent agenda. So if I can have, okay, Michael, see you later. If I can get a trustee to move and second the consent agenda A through D, please.
Make a motion to move approve the consent agenda items A through D.
Second.
Okay. Any comments or questions regarding the consent agenda? Seeing none or hearing none, I will ask the clerk to please read the consent agenda and then the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, January 11th, 2021. B, Village Board of Trustees executive session meeting minutes, January 11th, 2021. C, revision to the fiscal year 2021 compensation plan ordinance. D, Village Administrator's report. Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Motion approved.
Okay. Now we have nothing on the consent items for separate consideration, so we'll move on to the recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. Okay. If I can get a motion and a second on 7A, please.
I move to approve an ordinance granting the requested variation to section 10-10-8 of the zoning ordinance at 1134 through 1136 Harlem Avenue.
Second.
Okay. Lisa, you wanna
sure.
Take this?
Yeah, I can
okay,
make a few comments about this. So the property owner, Mr. Brown, owns a parcel at 1134 to 1136, well, 2 years ago, almost at this point, he had a garage fire on his property, unfortunately, and the existing two-car garage that he had was destroyed by fire. Prior to this, the property had two enclosed and three unenclosed parking spaces. This is a property located in the R3 single-family attached residential zoning district, and with the primary structure containing two attached dwelling units, he is required to have two enclosed parking spaces per unit, which would mean he would need, when his garage was destroyed by fire, in order to rebuild it under the code, he would, without relief, have to build a four-car garage, and then he would need to provide one guest parking space per dwelling unit. That would be difficult to do. So he had five spaces instead of six, and basically what he's asking to be allowed to do is to restore what was previously there, which was a legal nonconformity. So the Zoning Board of Appeals held a public hearing and unanimously recommended to the Village Board of Trustees that the requested relief from the zoning ordinance be granted to Mr. Brown, and that requested relief being that he would only have to provide two enclosed spaces, and then he would stripe the parking lot for three spaces for a total of five on the lot. And if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Doesn't appear that there are any. President Aducey stepped out of the room for just a moment. Do we need to wait for her to come back to call the vote? Yeah. So just give us 1 second, and we'll be back. And then Kathleen can call the vote. We can spend some time roasting Eric, or we can do shadow puppets.
No, that PowerPoint was fantastic.
Way to go.
Yeah, very clever. That was funny.
You couldn't come up with anything better for M?
No.
It's not wrong.
You could have gone with my awesome.
The funny part is I knew they were working on something, and I said to Lisa, I go, it better not include a Sarah McLachlan song. So the question is, was that song in there before, or did you put it in there after I made the comment?
Well, as you may recall, when you offered to host the chicken salad or chicken sandwich challenge this week,
that's right.
In response to that, I sent around the first three slides set to the Sarah McLachlan song.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Okay.
So this PowerPoint has now evolved with the influence of other members of your team.
Mm-hmm.
To be far funnier than what I had originally done. But I did take all of 30 seconds to figure out what Eric Palm stood for,
right.
Because that's probably the best use of my time. And so, yes, man is the best I could come up with in 30 seconds.
Well done.
No, thankfully, his name's not longer.
Exactly. So we're ready for the vote.
Okay. Ready to roll. Sorry. I had to... Okay, if I can ask the clerk to please take the vote. Thank you.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. So going on to the unfinished business, and happy that we got to this point. So this is the discussion. The first one's this. Discussion regarding diversity, equity, inclusion, internal working group goals and objectives. So I thought maybe the best way we could start this out is letting the staff or Lisa just kind of go over what we have submitted in the packet. Mm-hmm. And then if and especially Erica or Katie, if you want to, you know, we'll work through the discussion. But the hope is to try to get everybody's, I hope, and maybe hopefully it's yours, to get everybody's thoughts around what the goals and objectives should be. You know, we'll then get, you know, bring them together and, you know, come back with, you know, hopefully a set of goals and objectives that we all agree on, which I think we'll be able to get to. If that's okay with Erica and Katie, let's just kind of go to that direction and hopefully we'll get a good discussion going and then ultimately something that we can work with as a final document.
Okay. You want me to go? Or...
yeah. Okay. You'll take the first one.
All right. Yeah. Got it. So in the cover memo, there's a brief cover memo and then a separate page, a draft page that has some draft purpose, mission, and what I call initial goals. So the reason there you may look at that and see a certain brevity to it is because and two of the themes you see in the cover memo is the first thing I think the village wants to do before it gets too far ahead of itself in this space as we look at things internally is the bringing on and the engagement of a consultant with the professional expertise and technical skills to come in and help assess where our organization is. And so I don't want to have a certain predisposition one way or the other on what the final goals should be, because I think what you're going to see with this consultant coming on board is the takeaway at the end should be a work plan. And that work plan is going to look at our organization and give a series of recommendations on things to do. And then certainly those can then be discussed, evaluated, prioritized, et cetera. But I think that's really an important key. And, you know, are there areas of our organization where in the DEI space where we can continue to grow and make improvements? Absolutely. Can we pause and think to ourselves for a second and say, well, are there areas maybe where we are doing a good job as an organization? I think that's possible too. So I think when you think about that and marry all those together before, you know, and that's why I spent a little time trying to come up at least with what I thought was a very simple purpose and a very simple mission to kind of get this process moving and certainly moving in the right direction. And again, we're looking to assess our organization and then build upon that as we move forward. So that, to me, I think is one of the main key takeaways. And then the second key takeaway has been the discussion about the advisory group, the work group, right? And so I think there is a place certainly for that group to help provide feedback to the village administration, the village board, as we develop an RFP to go out to find a consultant, review those responses, provide, you know, make sure we're listening to the right voices and making sure we're doing good community engagement and outreach. And there's some commentary there on what that group could look like. And that's just one person's opinion who is also leaving. But you know, those would be kind of the two main takeaways I would say is number one, you know, I wouldn't spend a ton of time worrying about all these goals because we need someone to come in to help us to kind of create what that work plan is going to look like. Right. And then certainly we can have discussion about the size of the group and, you know, and those types of things. But those are the main things where I think we should focus our discussion. I'll let Lisa jump in. I've missed anything.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think you've missed anything. With you leaving me taking over the interim role, I think this is the place where I would ask that we start from is to assess where we're at and where we need to go. And I think I agree with Eric, there are undoubtedly areas where we can identify where someone will help us identify where we have some work to do. And I want to ensure that we're putting resources in the areas where there is need and identifying those up front. And moving forward with that.
So, I'll just open it up to the trustees on kind of the initial conversation.
Yeah, so I can start. Thank you, Eric and Lisa, for putting together the memo and the executive of the initiative for River Forest tonight. We have had some good conversations around this. And so, you know, looking for there to be a start, right? I would caution the thought of having the consultant be the first step to this. And I think that you sort of relayed that in the way that you talked about having the working group or the advisory group
begin the work of connecting with the village staff and the administration in what would be needed in an RFP with a consultant. But I also think that it is important to have that advisory group in place so that we can also hear, both of you are indicating that like we should create a work plan and work from that. And you know, that those are the steps. And I don't think until we hear from a advisory group and have them talk through some of the their starting points, where they're starting from, and where they are in part of the village, that we actually know. I completely agree that we should have a consultant come and help with managing this. It's not going to be working through a work plan and then we're done with diversity, inclusion, equity, right? Like there when we're done. Yep. And I think that you guys know that too. So I'm really happy with the initial goals that you've laid forward here. The one thing that I would say is that I do think that it does need to be, this document does need to be edited in some way to indicate that the advisory group is helping on and with each of these goals, right? And so that their role is to be a part of this entire process as well, that it is a shared effort. And I think those are my initial thoughts around that. We can also talk about group formation, you know, as well, but those are some of my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I'll jump in.
Yep. Okay.
It sounds like we've identified a couple of chicken and egg scenarios where, you know, what do you start with first? How do we move forward on parallel paths with looking for, with populating the advisory group at the same time that we have an RFP for a consultant, and how do we populate the advisory group if we don't know what they're going to be doing? I think that was a concern that Tom had articulated a couple years ago, and maybe Bob had as well. So, you know, fair enough. It's a tricky topic to get our arms around. But it's, of course, as we've all said, an important topic. So when the tension between populating the advisory group without having their mission and goals was identified a couple meetings ago, and I spent some time to prepare, to think ourselves and gather information from other municipalities and other people about what we thought a good draft of a mission and goals for this advisory group would be or could be. And we did talk with some of the other trustees about it. Kathy, I know, you know, Erica talked with you about it. We also talked with Eric Palm and Lisa about it. And, you know, one thought is that the work that Erica and I did really relates specifically to the advisory group, whereas arguably the work that Eric and Lisa have put together can be seen to be more of a broader initiative for the village, in particular for, you know, directions to staff. And so I would like to talk amongst the trustees about whether I'd like to hear from the other trustees about what you think about the mission and goals that we've circulated for the advisory group. If we can, what the input is up from the other trustees on that, and if we could possibly look at that as being something we could work into the document that Eric and Lisa prepared or attached to it.
I'm just a little uncomfortable in discussing that.
Wait a minute, Tom. I just want, if you don't mind, a point of just a clarification so I'm clear. I think the document that's in the packet, I thought was a little bit of a combination of, what you both kind of came up with in that kind of original, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's why I'm looking for a correction here. You know, that January 4th letter, and then you met with Eric and Lisa, and I was under the impression that that was a little bit of a combination, maybe not 100% of what was possibly you'd be looking for, but a combination of that letter and what the village thought the goals and purpose was supposed to be. Did I get that right, Katie and Erica? So what I'm saying is that what's in the packet right now was based on a conversation that both of you had with Eric and Lisa. Am I getting that right or no?
No, I mean, it was really kind of driven by my office. And okay. Then we heard from Erica and Katie and listened to their feedback and try to incorporate some of it. But I'll be honest, it's definitely more condensed and shorter than what they had put together.
Okay. Fair enough. I just wanted a point of clarification. Okay, very good. Thank you. Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
No comment? Okay.
Yeah.
One other thought I'll add, and maybe I think I planned to say this and I didn't, is that I think as residents express interest in being involved in this work, it would also be helpful to have the more detailed information for them to good understanding of what the goals and the mission are for the specific advice.
Go ahead, Patty.
Yeah, go ahead, Patty.
I guess for clarification, so the document that staff put together in terms of goals, am I understanding that you would envision these almost as steps? Like first we would do, number one and working down, which means creating the work group ends up being like bullet point six, roughly. Is that, or is there a sense that some of this is going to be done at the same time? You know what I mean? Like, how are you envisioning the goals here? Like doing things by steps, and then we get to the point of creating the group after we've had the consultant, or do you see things being more merged, working in tandem?
Yeah.
But Erica.
I think trustee,
I'm directing it to staff. I'm just trying to get an understanding of.
I think I understand your question. I think that the answer would be more of the latter, that they're merged together. So as you see in there is a somewhat of a presumption there that the working group would assist with RFP creation, help review responses, et cetera. So it's not a sequential set of goals, but more of a merged sense.
So in other words, are you saying the work group comes first and they help pull the RFP
Correct.
Together?
Right.
So that's what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's what I'm saying. I think there's some agreement here, Erica, in that I think the concern that I heard you say, both you and Katie, was that they wanted to make sure, again, the chicken and egg issue, they wanted to make sure the working group was put together and work side by side with you, the village staff, and the consultant, not like in the back, which I agree. I think that's what we all want, is the working group to be very integrated with with what you do.
Right. But let's, be mindful of process too, so that, the village administrator is going to provide a series of recommendations, mm-hmm. right? And as they go along that way, the village administrator will have this group to help work through and read through and discuss and ferret out some of these questions and answers and stuff, and then say, okay, village administrator, here's our feedback. And so as village administrator, as Lisa packages up and then makes a she makes a recommendation to the village board, it would come under her signature based on the feedback that would come from the work group or the advisory group.
So if I may, so I'm still struggling a little bit. We heard this evening transparency on our commissions and boards. And, you know, I look at this and I think, okay, we've got a purpose and we have a mission. So we have a starting point. And so we have some goals, but do we understand what the work is? So I look at my job and it's like, so I understand what I need to get done on a daily basis or what my long-term goal is for my organization. And so and I hope everybody agrees with this, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon, okay? And it's been something that's been going on for a long time and it's gonna take some time to get it all squared away and unwind. And so I wanna make sure that, you know, we give members of the community who we may or may not think qualify for this group an opportunity to understand they can be part of this group. And then I think when we set down what our goals are, and then, you know, we kind of have to do kind of an internal work plan and an external work plan. And so the internal work plan would look like, you know, let's get the group together, let's explain to them what we want to do, and then let's get them to give us feedback on what a consultant might look like. I don't know that, and because I don't know who the players are going to be, is, you know, is somebody going to have the capabilities or the experience to ferret out, if you will, what we're trying to get to. And so that's why I think, you know, the process, we need to establish what the process is going to look like. But I think the purpose and the mission that's laid out here in the packet is pretty good.
Yeah, what was in the packet today was sort of what I envisioned when we first started talking about this. To me, it seems illogical. I mean, I get the point of the chicken and the egg thing, but we need some impetus to move forward, and that structure provides that impetus. So I think the approach that's outlined in the memo makes sense.
I personally, I guess, have to say the document that Trustee Brennan and Trustee Bachner put together, I think puts a bit more action in terms of what the group could be doing. I think their descriptions are a bit more robust. I mean, personally, what I see in that document is more what I envision the group doing. And I do think it's important to have the group in place to help guide the work. I mean, that's sort of that was my understanding, is that you get a group that through their lived experiences and having done work in the area can come together to help guide what we should be discussing and looking for and helping to identify, you know, the reality is, as we've talked about with issues around racial equity and systemic racism, is that sometimes things are in place for so long, it's hard to even identify for some that that's in fact a systemic racist policy, right? And so it is that ability to be able to step back and hear the perspectives from others to be able to evaluate, not in any sort of defensive. I mean, to me, the whole point of this whole exercise is to be able to recognize what maybe some of us didn't realize was actually happening in practice. And so to come at this with as open of a mind as possible, with the intention that we really do want to do better for everybody, for all of our employees, for all of our residents, for visitors to our community. And so to me, it's kind of, this is in my mind, it's a simple thing that we need to get a group together to start these conversations. And it needs to evolve, right? I mean, I think as we also have recognized with things that we have put together, ordinances, groups, that with new information, we are able to pivot. And I do think in this particular case, we want to be as nimble as possible and not try and lock ourselves into, well, what does this specifically look like? I think this particular topic begs being more open-minded to what conversations will bring us and not be so set on what's the end game, what's the, you know what I mean? I just think this particular topic is really quite different than most things we are confronted with. It's not so cut and dry, easy answers. And I think we have to allow that we may have missteps along the way too, right? I mean, that's all part of this. And I think we have to be comfortable and experiencing that. And when we get to those missteps, then, okay, now what do we do? How can we talk through it to keep moving forward? Do we want to keep being forward thinking in this whole process with the end goal of really helping and educating everybody, raising awareness about how we should be looking at these issues? So I would really like to use as much of what Trustee Bachner and Trustee Brennan has as the guide that the group would have a sense of. These are the things that we would be working towards, with the understanding that, you know what, that group may even come with some other ideas, right? And that's what I personally would like to see us have that flexibility on.
Okay, this is Russ. I'd like to add some things. Let me finish all my comments. Believe you me, it's not gonna be 10 o'clock, but let me go through what I'm thinking of. I looked at what's in our board packet, and then I'm hearing, and I know we got the most recent from Erica and Katie, and it's not in the board packet, but I do want to talk about both. When it came to the age-friendly committee, remember we set up goals, and then those goals were given to my committee. The committee then, from those goals, are starting to work on activities within those goals. I say that because when I looked at what Eric or the staff put together, and then I looked at what Erica and Katie put together, Katie and Erica is a little more detailed, a little more in terms of the activities. But I see a lot of the goals. In fact, I can see Eric's goals applying to Erica and Katie's document, except Katie and Erica's document spell it out a little more. It looks like their document has the activities of which my committee created after getting the goals. So you do see a framework that's similar. The only thing I would probably switch or add a little more emphasis is when it comes to the consultant, and I'll use the word consultant slash facilitator. And I don't know, Eric, if this is what you're thinking or Lisa, but in the other IAB matters that I've been involved with, we retained a consultant, the consultant who served like a facilitator, who worked with the staff and the working group to try to reach ideas, activities, and how to attain these goals or the process into pursuing each of the goals, and then came out with a map. But, and I'm not sure if that's what you're thinking of, because if this consultant is going to come in higher and then say, this is what you need to do, I'm not sure if even a consultant in this area would say that without saying we need to get feedback from the working group as well. That's almost similar to what I understand Dominican's going to do. They're going to get feedback from people when they're going to touch upon these areas and then come up with some recommendation that everybody's going to at least have input into. So I'm thinking with this consultant, you're gonna, I do see that the working group is gonna give feedback after what that RFP and the consultant should be, I guess, addressing or qualities or qualifications, criteria, et cetera. But then once that happens too, I'm assuming that consultant is gonna want feedback from the working group also when he's gonna be looking at all these goals that you have developed on this page. Again, similar to what I already see what the other document says in terms of, I can probably go on to match, you know, goals, their goals versus with your goals. I wouldn't even say it's versus. I say they almost touch upon about the same activity. So what I'm saying is that I think we're pretty close to what right. it is. I think what we're talking about is maybe now stepping into what the working group is how the working group's going to address each of the similar goals. And that's sort of where I think we might be jumping ahead, only because I think part of that, we're missing the other group, the working group, who's going to be working on that and those activities. So, but I think in sharing the goals, I think they're pretty much there. So from my vantage point, then I'm saying that probably Erica's document is probably going to be useful when the working committee is going to get together, because I do agree that once they look at it, and if the consultant who's going to be like a facilitator is going to bring in, he's probably going to ask those questions about, is this the best way you think we can handle it? Because you're going to get feedback from each of the working group members. And then they're going to come up with a plan and ultimately a recommendation that's going to come to this board and how we're going to address these DEI issues. So I think we're almost there. I mean, and it, I think the mission is good, purpose is good, the goals are good. It's just how are we going to go from there? And I don't disagree with the working group, and it is going to be interactive. I mean, it's as people give their input, I think we will have, or the group will have, aha moments about, yeah, we thought about this, maybe this is a different approach that we're going to take. It just happens. The more people that are involved, the more better ideas get, you know, talked about and then get modified, change, et cetera. And then a good thing comes out of it. So that's what I'm thinking right now as in terms of the goals and the mission.
And Rez, I think I mentioned that in my comments beginning too. If I didn't, I do want to state that now, that the initial goals are listed here by Eric and are they are, you can find them within the document that we worked through, right? They correspond. They are briefer, but they tie together, and they tie together well. One thing that I do want to see though, and I think that Eric, when we say that like the recommendations coming out of the group would be then led by Lisa or the village administrator, I really think that it is important to have that community stamp on it, and that it truly is coming from the advisory group, and that they are working in coordination with Lisa and the village administrator. I think that is really, truly important, that I think it makes for a stronger recommendation and ties to our community. And if you don't have that, if it feels like it's coming from top down, people are going to be less inclined to want to back it.
So I think this is great. I think it's wonderful discussion, and maybe just a few comments. That's what I mentioned earlier. I thought there was a lot of commonality between the two documents, and that was my point of clarification. So I agree with you, Rez. I do think there's, like you said, Erica, it just appears to be briefer, but it has a lot of the components. The thing that I want to remind the board and everybody listening, there is a document that, of course, is not in the public domain, and it needs to be that. that Erica and Katie have been working on. So I would caution us about talking about that document because it's not been, you know, available to the public for their use. So what I'd like to suggest is that, you know, we could either agree in principle that what we've got is similar to what we want, and maybe this document that we should ensure that it's, you know, so it's transparent to the community. Maybe that document, which is a very good document, is used for the application process of looking for the internal advisory group, that these are your duties and, you know, not duties, but responsibilities and goals, because it further explains kind of the responsibilities of that group. And so we should, in the public, so that the public gets, what I would recommend that we have that discussion and maybe use that document more as, I want to say recruitment, but more as an application document that we could put in the public domain and let people know that something like that document, once we get a chance to discuss it, could be used to help us guide the working group, not only, you know, what it is, but who it is. Does that make any sense? I mean, that would be a bit of my recommendation.
That makes sense to me. I do have to echo Erica's comment about the structure of recommendations, anticipated recommendations from this advisory group. And I had understood that the group would, the group's work would end up being recommendations to the Board of Trustees, not, and would be led by a resident, most likely a trustee, rather than led by the administrator, the village administrator.
That's not my understanding of it. My understanding always was it was going to be led by the village administrator. Because I think whatever recommendations come out of this, it's going to be to the village administrator to execute whatever the plan is. And the fact that Lisa or that individual is not that person, I think that's a big miss.
Well, I also think it's important that it be led by the village administrator, because you would want the person leading this group to have the intimate knowledge that likely only the village administrator would have of the various ways the village operates. To me, I think you want that leadership, because that's sort of your knowledge base for a lot of this. I mean, obviously the committee can ask for additional information, but the vast bulk of the knowledge will come from the administrator. And it just makes sense to me that that's the person that leads the group.
And again, I don't want to repeat, and Katie, I think you've got a good point, but we heard earlier, the role of the village trustee on a committee, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I don't know if that, you know, maybe, you know, what we learned is maybe that's not the right thing to do going forward. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, we want this to work and we want it to succeed. And I think the combination of a village trustee on the committee and the village administration leading it, I think will take away many of these questions that maybe people might have. I don't know, but I'm just, what I heard earlier in our comments makes me question whether how effective a village trustee can be on one of these committees. That's all.
Yeah, fair enough. When I think about the structure of, I think every commission or working group or task force that I know of in the village, they're pretty much all run by either an appointed resident, appointed by you, Kathy, or in Rez's situation with the age-friendly group, a trustee. And there's always a staff person who's assigned to it. That's been my experience on the Sustainability Commission. And John Anderson, the staff person who was assigned to it, to the Sustainability Commission, has always been very helpful with giving that commission the information that it needs about how the village works, or we'll go get it and bring it back, or, you know. So that's the structure that I anticipate consistent with the experience I've had with the village so far.
And I would agree with that. I mean, I feel just in terms of best use of staff time, most especially our administrator. Our administrator has, Eric, I'm sure you could attest, a very full plate, including at times weekends and evenings. So you've got a lot. And I would agree with Trustee Brennan that having a staff liaison with our other commissions and committees does allow that. You know, I don't think anybody expects at a given committee meeting that you're going to have every answer. And so through the course of the conversation, there will be times that information is, and staff might on the spot be able to provide an answer based on the knowledge they have, or they may have to take notes and say, okay, we'll come back to you with that information. I'm not sure, you know, at the end of the day, all of our committees and commissions are advisory, right? And they would come to the village board for us to make final decisions. So I'm not sure the concern about who's leading what, and if decisions are made at the committee or commission level, as we know, that's not the final say. It comes for further discussion at our board table. So it's unfortunate that we have the example of what the resident spoke to tonight. I would imagine Trustee Vasquez would say, though, in his experience on his committee, having a trustee run that, unless maybe you're deciding yourself that would, but it seems that from what I'm listening to those meetings seems to be working well.
Yeah.
And Bob, well,
I think one of the differences, Patty, is this is diving into the inner workings of our village. And there are things that I believe that once you get into this that are going to be held in very strict confidentiality, that the village administrator may and the village attorney may be the only ones that know this. There may be employment issues involved in this. There may be HIPAA issues involved in this. And so to not have our village administrator leading this and directing it and understanding what he can say or not, he or she can say or not say, I think we potentially get ourselves in a rabbit hole. And that's why I was, when we talked about this and we said the village administrator was going to run this, that's where my comfort level went way up.
Yeah, I mean, I see this as a trustee and the administrator there. And in the room and helping facilitate discussions, Bob, and being there. And one of the things I think that you said at one of our other meetings, and it's true, is that the work of this advisory group lands on the table of the trustees, that we're ultimately the people who make the decisions about what they're recommending. And so, I mean, I don't, you know, my only point is that, like, I don't think it is the advisory group to the administrator, and then they go and plan it. I think it's the advisory group in partnership with the administrator and the trustee, and recommendations flow into the trustee board.
Yep. Okay. I think, Erica, there's some, yeah, go ahead.
Right. All right, Patty, I was gonna add. Going to what Patty asked about how my committee works, yes, it's working well. I know I'm chairing it, but then I'm also chairing it as a facilitator too. I am not dictating down to them. I am actually asking them and their opinion. And we're all working well. So despite the fact that I have a title, I don't act like I have the title. I act like one of the members. And I think that's going to be key on any one of these committees. And going back to, for example, at the IAB committee, Ed Condon, the superintendent, the administrator, the chief administrator, is the one who chairs it. But he has that title, or actually his title is member, but he acts as the chair of it, but he acts as a facilitator. So when he's meeting with all of us and the members, we give a topic question, we all actually get the feedback is really from the members. I don't think Ed Condon really, I don't recall him ever telling us what we need to do. It's always been, these are the issues, or this is the most recent issue. How do you think we ought to handle it? And then solicits the input from the advisory group. So I'm assuming then, soon to be Lisa, if she is acting in that role, I'm not anticipating she's going to be telling these members what they need to do. She's going to be solicitating and facilitating what the issues are and how it needs to be addressed. And she can give her input regarding at least the administrative matter, because I do think that comes into play. And she's the one with the experience. And if she needs help from somebody else in the administration, she would be the one bringing that or following up with that. And if it's an issue with our village attorney, I'm sure she'll follow up with that too. Remember, we're setting policy. And so there's going to be a lot of discussion about what recommendations should be, et cetera. I don't think it's, and it's not going to work if it's not a collaborative effort, whether it's a board trustee chair, whether it's a village administrator, because they're all going to work together. So I'm okay with the village administrator being there as the member and chairing it, but not dictating, because it's not going to be successful if that happens either. So I guess I want to give some comfort level that this committee can go either way, I just wanted to clarify that administrator can be like sort of the facilitator chair on this committee, and that's fine. We will, if it's not going to be working out where it's more of a dictatorship or top down, believe you me, we're going to hear more of them committee members coming to our board meetings, just like we heard today about this is not running well the way it should be and the input's not being given. Knowing what we know from Lisa, I don't anticipate that's going to be a problem in terms of having her work on this and working together. So that's my input for that.
Okay. So, good. Sorry, any other comment? I think where we're at, and I think there's some really great points, and I understand, I don't think we're all too far apart. I do believe that the village administrator probably, I don't know if it's, oversight, maybe it's chairs it, because we're talking about something slightly different than maybe, Rez, what you're managing, and maybe Katie, even the Sustainability Commission, because really we were coming from nothing and trying to create something. I think here we have something that we want to change, possibly, or make better, or do something different with. And I think we need the village administration and its staff to work through that with the group and with all of us, with even the board. So I see that if they chair it, it will, I think, to me, I feel like it will create a little bit more streamlining. That doesn't mean that a trustee isn't part of the group. I mean, certainly that's a possibility, and I would recommend that too, because I do think it works. It works well with Res, and I think it can work. And if it doesn't work, I guess we hear about it. But
and Kathy,
I would recommend.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but on that point, at the IAB, they do have a board member who serves as a liaison to the group also.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think I would recommend it. I think it can and it does work. I'm just sensitive to, comments that we often hear. So what I'd recommend is
you know, and I'm just going to throw it out, is there's things in that document like, you know, membership. I don't know if we need to make that decision tonight, but maybe we can make the decisions on the initial goals and then revisit next meeting the document that you, Erica and Katie, worked up and put that in. I mean, I've been getting comments like, where's this document? And let's put it in the public domain so that it's, you know, we're all transparent with the document. And we could say maybe this is the document that really creates the recruitment or the application process for people to join the working group so they know their responsibilities and their workload. And then make a commitment that that group, it works with you know, with the administration, works with, not for, but with the administration to look at, you know, key elements that are actually in the document that you two wrote up. You know, anyway, that's my suggestion, just to, so that we can kind of move the conversation along, but not lose the good work that you, Katie, and Erica did, but incorporate it next week when we get a chance to look at it, you know, in the packet, because I think it's a good document. It's a suggestion to move it on.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to get stuck on the titles of anything. I want to make sure that there is an understanding that it is a partnership, that the advisory group can make recommendations to the board, and that in the, if we are going forward with this one pager from Eric, that I suggest that creating the advisory group maybe be the first bullet on there, just so that it's, we can understand that that's the priority. And then also incorporating some language that indicates that it is a partnership of the equity group and the village to enact these initial goals.
Very good. And I think that's very reasonable. Unless anybody on the, as the trustees feel that that's unreasonable, I think it's a reasonable add to the initial goal.
And I would only amend that by saying that maybe adding language that's saying that you, these goals, because I'm going back to, I think, what Trustee Henning said when she asked the question, are these bullets in succession of 1, 2, 3, from what I recall, if I understood her question correctly. And I understood that, no, these are all goals, but not necessarily to be taken in the order that they are listed. And they can, as long, like in my committee, we have the four goals, but it doesn't say you gotta do 1, 2, 3, or 4 in any particular order. So we're making that assessment as we go along. I'm assuming with the goals that are listed here, that that's the same or can be dealt with the same case. So maybe, I don't know, instead of saying one above the other, adding language somewhere at the top, these goals, but not to be, you know, not in terms of priority, not in terms of specific order. I'll let, you know, the staff figure it out, but something along those lines, that it's clear that these are listed, but not necessarily to be taken in, you know, in steps of 1, 2, 3 as they are listed. And you can play with the language, but I think that has to be clear, because I do want to address what Trustee Bachner said, but also the question that Trustee Hennig asked, because I think these are, we're just listing them. We didn't create this, and I'm assuming that Eric and Lisa did not put this together with the understanding that they are listed sequentially.
I think that's correct. I don't think it was a stream of consciousness, but I think it was
correct.
A little bit more than that, but I don't think one certainly, you know, goes before the other. So to answer Erica, I think, yeah.
Sorry, if I answer, can, go ahead, Kathy.
Sure. To answer Erica, I think point is to add a few, maybe clarifications is a good one. Go ahead, Kathy.
So I'm just still trying to get my get clear what our steps are here in terms of when we started the senior committee and the DEER committee. We ultimately had a resolution creating these, right? And as part of that resolution, it talked about membership and what they are charged with. So if we're talking about reviewing a document next week, and part of the list of what's in the goals is creating the committee, I'm throwing this out. I don't know who's going to answer this, but what are we envisioning now? So next meeting, we would still have another discussion, which then leads to maybe getting a draft of a resolution to what this group looks like moving forward. That's what I'm not clear at this point. I mean, with those two, we had a resolution about the actual committee.
So Patty, if I could interject just real quick. The document that was produced that Kathy is referring to, that's not part of the public domain, it was my understanding from an email that I got shortly before the meeting, is that we were not going to discuss that this evening. And so therefore, I think to Kathy's point is, we need to have some discussion to see if we can marry these two documents and then take our next step from it.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but actually what I'm asking though is, what do people envision as being our next steps? When would we be presented with a draft resolution that ultimately is what puts this whole thing into action, right?
Yep.
I mean, right now we just seem to be talking, and I at times feel like we're talking in circles. So that's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, we're not talking in circles. We're making progress. I think we're talking about the document that's before you. And no other document, just the document before you that's in the public domain. And what I think we all agreed to, unless I hear from any other trustees, we've agreed that the initial goals with some modifications is something we should, you know, again, come back and look at to ensure that it's what we want. And then take the document that has been written and make it another point of discussion, because we have to put it in the public domain. And then talk about the membership or the recruitment process and the group itself. And I think that's what we've been talking about is the initial goals and then the membership. So I see the resolution coming a little bit later, because we have to work out all these other comments that's been here.
So in your mind, what are you envisioning in a perfect world thing? How many meetings are you thinking till we get to the point of we're voting on a resolution?
Right. Until we get it right. I think that's what that's what I would do, until we get it right. Until we figure we're all satisfied, or the consensus is that this is the right document. So just like we do with anything else, make sure that we get it right. So that's what my thoughts.
So Kathy, I mean, maybe we can just talk about that. If we group membership was a part of the memo today, so we can talk through that, and then maybe for the next meeting, whatever the process is, maybe we can actually have a resolution in the next meeting if we understand how we're going to be asking for group membership.
So Erica, does your resolution kind of spell out the steps? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I think we need to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I think, I guess I'm thinking, Bob, like close to the resolution that they had for the age-friendly group.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that, so. I guess I'll have to look at that and see how it goes.
There was just the formation. It was indicating that there was a formation of the age-friendly group, essentially.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Katie.
I was just going to say, there was a resolution to create the EDC. There was a resolution to create the Sustainability Commission. It's a longer document.
Okay, that's fine, but I'm not familiar with it, so. it. So thank you.
So Bob, let me, yes, of course. And Katie and Erica are right. I mean, once we agree on the goals, the purpose, the mission, and the membership, or the composition of the group, then we set out a resolution. We vote on it.
I understand that part of it. I'm trying to understand exactly what is going in this resolution that we want to do in 2 weeks, because we just talked about a document that needs to go in the public domain. And so when will we address that? And so to get to a resolution in 2 weeks and have that, maybe it's possible, but I just need to understand what it is we want to go in there.
I think it's gotta be, I think we've got to discuss the document that we're referring to that nobody's seeing but us. And so I think we've got to discuss that. And I would recommend we discuss that document next time we meet. And then I think we then set out the process by which this group comes together. I mean, that will be, we can talk about the composition of it, how many, the roles that, you put out. I think those roles are a good one. And then we could say, we could set a resolution that puts this in motion. But I think we have to have a conversation about the document that we're talking about internally here so that, the public knows what this document looks like.
Can I ask when that would be made public? And what are we?
Well, I hope, next meeting.
So it wouldn't be available in the board packet until our next meeting.
Yeah. The right process. So we can, again, this is just a recommendation. We could take all the comments right now on the goals, and that will come back to the board, what I'll call in a final draft, possibly. And we can settle on the goals, and then we can settle on the roles and responsibilities of the working group, and we can settle on the composition, how many, what the application looks like, and how long will the application, who gets on it, who doesn't, all of that could be discussed certainly next board meeting. That's what I would think.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
Eric, you'll miss us.
He'll be an ex officio member of our group, the working group.
Who? Eric. Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Okay. So any objections to that? So the direction is that from tonight's comments on the goals, we'll modify it, I think, pretty much what per Trustee Bachner was talking about. I think it's a good to add and two suggestions. If anybody else has anything, please send them off to Lisa. And but then we will then, be prepared to talk about, the document that, Trustee Brennan and Trustee Bachner, as well as the composition of the group. I think that's will be a broader and bigger discussion. And then from there, we can move on to the actual resolution, which would be the natural next step. Okay. So if everyone's cool with that, then we'll move on to 8B, which is Dominican University Working Group Update. So Lisa?
Sure. Let me just pull my one little document in front of me. So with the retirement of Sheila Radford Hill, until the university names a new chief diversity officer, I have been in contact with someone who is filling in the interim with regard to TRHT, named Amy Omi at Dominican University. And if you were at the event last Tuesday, then you certainly had an opportunity to see Amy in action. Amy and I have had a couple conversations already to see how we can get the ball rolling with TRHT. And she indicated that of the 9 work groups that have been established, with the River Forest DU Community Partnership being one of them, they're in the initial stages of establishing their TRHT work groups. So they have had leaders designated for each work group, and they're meeting with their core team on a monthly basis, and they will start to build out those individual work groups from there. So they're still in the formation stage. Amy did ask me when I spoke with her today to share that any stakeholders, which is anybody, any resident with a vested interest who wants to help, is welcome to attend their monthly meeting. And I have those meeting dates. I'm happy to share them in February, March, April, and May, and then they break for the summer and resume their work in the fall. So while they are forming these work groups, and certainly they're in the initial stages, we want to build on the positive momentum coming out of the board's discussions and the positive momentum coming out of Tuesday's events, and strategize about how we can move forward with the Villages work group. Because of the 9 work groups, and I do have them in front of me if anybody needs to see them, but of the 9 that are formed through TRHT.
Could you put that
up? Yeah, I'll put that up. Sure, thank you. Just a second. Screen share. Here we go. All right, there we got it. So there are 9 work groups that you can see here. So items 1 through 7, Amy has identified for me, because I was trying to understand kind of what their vision was for these work groups, where the village fits in here. And in items 1 through 7, she feels that those, DU feels that those are really kind of internal working groups that are specific to the university. And certainly anyone with a vested interest, any of the stakeholders that she talked about earlier, that I talked about earlier, they are welcome to participate and assist. But in terms of engagement with the village as a municipal entity, she really feels that the 2 best places for our partnership are in the TRHT working groups, items 8 and 9. So River Forest and Dominican University partnership, and then also the racial healing circle working group. And so I can stop sharing if you want, but if we need to go back to this at any point, just let me know.
Mm-hmm.
So she sees us obviously sliding into those, you know, groups 8 and 9. On the comment of the racial healing circle working group, the way she had described, you know, potentially the village partnering there is that DU has individuals who are trained to hold racial healing circles at any time. So as an organization, as a team, internal to the organization, external to the organization, we can certainly help to facilitate those. And for those of you who had an opportunity to participate in the event last week at DU, I think you got a glimpse, I know I got a glimpse of how those are conducted and how they can be conducted virtually. Our group had a very positive experience, and I certainly appreciate what they all had to share. I certainly learned a lot in that group. And so that is something we can begin, you know, utilizing when we're ready and when there are good opportunities to do that. Those groups are tailored to the audience and the purpose of holding those groups. But going back to the DU River Forest Partnership Working Group, we initially started talking about and just, you know, kind of brainstorming a couple of ideas about where this group could potentially end up. But the bottom line is we want to hear from the members of the community. Certainly, we are there to help facilitate the process, help coordinate it, and make sure that we continue to move forward. But obviously, this is really the community's work group. And so we want to facilitate what the community's goals are between River Forest and DU, not just what Amy's goals and my goals are, certainly. So we had talked about how do we get the ball rolling, because we have to start somewhere. And certainly it can evolve over time, but we propose starting with a relatively small group that includes individuals from the Village of River Forest, from Dominican University, and also the Village of Maywood, so that we can begin to brainstorm. I think there were, I think like the event that we had that Trustee Bachner and Trustee Jones hosted in Maywood a few months ago, there were so many wonderful ideas that came out of that and so many great opportunities for partnership. That we certainly don't want the ideas to just be limited to what we have, but again, we have to start somewhere. So what we had suggested was to try to make sure that the group is a manageable size, is to have each municipality have an elected official, a member of the staff, preferably a village administrator, or somebody at that rank or pretty much at that level. So an elected official, a member of staff, and a resident. So that's what we would have for Maywood. That is what we would have for the Village of River Forest. And then for Dominican University, what Amy was thinking is that that group would include her, the chief diversity officer once that position is filled, a student leader, and then individual from the Center for Cultural Liberation, and then also a River Forest resident. I think Sheila would like to stay involved, and I would certainly welcome her wealth of expertise and knowledge. So we would have a good amount of resident representation on the committee, and one of the ways we can ensure that the advisory group and the TRHT work group really have shared goals and are coordinated is to include one of the members of the River Forest Advisory Group that you all just discussed as the resident member on the TRHT working group, so that there is some synchronicity there. So that is where we are at now, and whenever the board is ready to make a decision that this is the direction we want to go so that we can get this process started, obviously I'm interested in your feedback and want to hear all of that, but that's where we're coming. That's where Amy and I have kind of put our heads together and come up to at this point. And I'm happy to take your input.
Yep. Yeah, very good. I'll just open it up to the board. Your thoughts.
That's a lot of information. and I haven't seen any of it in writing except for that in that bit. Chance to look at the bullets or the eight work groups. Agreed. Or the two of the eight that were thought to be the best fit for River Forest. So maybe we could see this in writing.
Good idea. I agree. I mean, I think that's why it's only a discussion and so forth, just to get some feedback from all of you. So yeah, I think we certainly have to put it all in writing and get it to the board packet. Yeah, this is just, again, part of discussion as an update.
From my opinion, I think from what I heard Lisa outline, and I know it probably will be helpful getting it in writing, but so we can focus on exactly each of the steps that she talked about. But I do think from what I heard is that either we've talked about it with Sheila and or as part of, I mean, I think all the board of trustees were at the meeting that Erica and Mr. Jones hosted in Maywood. So I do recall a lot of the ideas that came out of that as well. So even though the specifics aren't outlined from what Lisa's saying, I think the process that she's talking about makes a lot of sense to me too, because it does. It's involving the right people, and it's already sort of foreseeing how the working group is going to be part of this, because I anticipated that was going to be the case even before listening to Lisa today. So, so far I think it's the right direction to go.
I agree, Roz.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well then what I'd recommend to Lisa is then you write that up and look for particular actions that you want the board to consider, you know, at our next meeting, and then we can discuss that. And if we're ready to have more, you know, action on it, then we can move forward on action on that.
Sure. Great. And if you can include that document that you put up also.
It's a good one.
Right. That's perfect.
It's a great one. Yeah. My pleasure. We could probably reuse that. So, okay, any other comments or questions regarding that? Okay, thank you, Lisa. Well, that concludes, I think, our meeting. There's no business, no executive session. So I'd ask a trustee to move an adjournment.
Motion to adjourn the village board meeting.
Second.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay, very good.